Chapter 8. I caught the nobles and architects up on the plans that had been discussed during the town hall meeting a few days before their arrival. Afterward, I mentioned the idea of building a fortification near the Orichalcum mine, and there was a moment of shock amongst the nobles, save for Nicolaus, when I mentioned the mine.
I never thought I'd be so close to the origin of Orichalcum.
Nadezda's eyes glittered with curiosity and excitement, and she was almost vibrating in her seat.
That mine is definitely a national treasure.
And something else that needs protecting, I sighed as I rubbed the bridge of my nose.
If possible, I would love to see the mine as well,
Nadezda added.
I would settle for a piece of Orichalcum to study, though. It wouldn't have to be much, just a tiny piece so we can see how the miasma would react to it under observation.
Talk to Natalia and ask her for some pieces of it, I replied. She is one of the Azuras who survived the attack on the village. She resides in Hatra now as one of our blacksmiths. She'll give you what you need for your experiments.
What happened? Nicolaus asked. You said the mine is also in need of protection, yes?
Demonized harpies attacked the mine, I explained with a frown. They weren't exactly like corrupted corpses, but they were frighteningly similar. It was obvious their minds weren't their own.
Demonized harpies?
Nadezda stood suddenly, and her chair fell on the floor behind her.
How is that even possible?
I have no idea, I admitted to the disciple. None of us even knew such a thing could exist.
Their souls cried out for salvation,
Aliona murmured gently.
And it was clear to me they'd been forced into something similar to deviation, but not quite that. Their spiritual seas weren't on fire, but it was like something had tainted them. It was just like the stories of the old days.
Old days? I glanced over at my princess and frowned at her serious face. What kind of stories are you talking about?
When the demons would drag mortals down to the depths of hell, Nicolaus added as he stood and righted Nadezda's chair. That is what you are talking about, am I correct?
Yes,
Aliona replied, as she tucked a lock of hair behind her ear.
We've all thought they were just impossible stories. Apparently we were wrong. What happened to the harpies was some twisted form of necromancy, corrupting the art into the most wicked form possible. I'm searching in the library for any clues as to what happened.
That reminds me, Nicolaus pulled out a silver ring from his pocket and tossed it to Aliona. His Eminence entrusted this to me. He said you would have need of it.
My library!
Aliona's amethyst eyes shone like stars with her excitement.
There may be something here that could lead me to an answer. If you'll excuse me, my lords and ladies.
The newcomers from Leyte immediately stood at those words and inclined their heads respectfully. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see my father blink in surprise at their actions.
If I may be so bold, may I accompany you in order to study this event?
Nadezda asked as she took a step toward Aliona.
And I as well,
Seroja, the scholar, added quickly.
My talents would be better served under your command, Your Highness.
Of course,
Aliona replied with a smile.
I would greatly welcome the help in my research.
Don't spend all night in the library again, I reminded my princess as she stepped toward the door. There's no point in overworking yourself. Her only response was to send a blinding smile my way as she stepped through the door, followed by Nadezda and Seroja.
I doubt she would take your advice,
Julia murmured from behind her fan.
She's quite the stubborn one, after all.
Yeah, I sighed as I shook my head fondly. She's going to be there all night again. I tore my eyes away from the door and turned my attention back to the matter at hand. We have more pressing things to attend to, though. Lord Nicolaus, I was under the impression there would be a caravan of supplies and workers arriving with your entourage.
You are correct, Nicolaus replied as he sat back down. We were the vanguard, you could say. The proper caravan will be arriving in a few days, laden with all of the supplies His Eminence promised, and more.
I could tell there was a hidden undertone to his words, and I wondered if his early arrival was supposed to be a deterrent against any attack on Hatra by the demons or the Green Glass sect.
A king as wise as Rodion wouldn't make a move without considering every possibility,
Mariah whispered to me from my spiritual sea.
This Lord of Leyte is quite powerful. He would be a worthy ally.
I didn't respond to the spirit sword, Talking to Mariah in front of everyone at the table wasn't something I was entirely comfortable with. I didn't know what was going on, but given what Asher had told me about a traitor in the White Jade sect, my instincts screamed that there was a serpent at the table. Considering there was quite the variety of newcomers, I wasn't sure who had triggered my inner alarm, but I quietly studied them nonetheless. "We'll make sure to have quarters prepared for them when they arrive," I promised Nikolaus before I launched into the long list of work that needed to be done. "Since we have some time before your workers arrive, let's use that to go over my plans. You've seen that a good majority of the city is rebuilt, and the walls are up once more. We still have most of the defensive structures left to rebuild, though, mainly the lookout towers and military barracks. There's also still the farm expansion, the defensive structures for the Arcalum mine, the fallen temples, as well as the central palace and government offices."
"Obviously, the palace should be reconstructed first," Alexei scoffed and waved his hand in the air. "There's no doubt that should be the first order of business."
"Excuse me?" I gritted my teeth as I told myself to be patient with this newcomer. "What's your reasoning behind rebuilding the palace first?"
"You can't have a city without a palace."
Alexei shook his head, as if his logic was perfectly sound.
"The ruling family can't be living in the streets with the common folk, let alone make Her Highness live outside of a palace."
Beside him, the excitable silver-haired boy from earlier sighed heavily as he rubbed his temples. Then one of the women in the group, quite delicate-looking and with curly blue hair, groaned into her hands. "So," I sighed as I crossed my arms over my chest, "your logic is that Hatra needs a symbol, and the House of Hatra El Shamash can't live alongside the people they rule?"
"A ruler is a living symbol, Lord Evan."
Alexei glanced over at my adoptive parents for a moment.
"They have to be untouchable and without reproach. If that means living apart from the masses, then so be it."
It seemed like I was going to have to make something clear to this foreign noble.
"Yeah, you see," I began coldly as I leaned back in my chair,
"that's not going to fly with me or in Hatra at all. I don't mean the Lunar Palace will never be rebuilt. I already promised my people I'd rebuild it for them, but that's not a priority right now. The priority is making sure my people are safe, no matter what happens. So no, I'm not going to waste time on a palace no one needs to live in yet when there's so much more outside of the city walls that needs to be done first."
There was a moment of silence and tension as Alexei frowned, and his fists clenched tightly around the armrests of his chair. For a moment, I thought there was going to be more arguments from him, but he just nodded sullenly and slumped back into his chair. I smirked in triumph. I wasn't about to be bossed around in my own city, and now these nobles knew it.
Suddenly, I could hear two pairs of footsteps outside of the room, and I knew the two people I'd sent for had finally arrived.
"We've brought the plans, my lord!"
Leon exclaimed as he walked into the room, and his arms were full of scrolls and books.
"All of them!"
Dagon added cheerfully, just as burdened as Leon was.
"And we brought unused parchment and scrolls as well."
"Perfect! Just spread them out here on the table." I pointed at the empty spaces between the plates of refreshments. "The two of you can take a seat, in case we need any explanations on your plans." A blue-haired man with eyes the color of an amber sunset was the first one to grab onto the paperwork brought in, and he began to scan through the various sketches Leon had made. A woman with brilliant crimson hair leaned over his shoulder as her brow furrowed in thought, and her dark brown eyes darted to and fro over the parchment. They murmured quietly to each other, and I caught some of their whispered words.
"What about terraces?"
the blue-haired man asked as he glanced over his shoulder at the woman.
"Terraces could work between the walls and create additional farming areas. We could divide them according to crops."
"It depends on the height of the inner walls compared to the outer walls,"
she responded confidently.
"Look at the schematics for the aqueducts. What do you think about connecting them to the underground system?"
Excuse me for interrupting your thought process," I spoke up with a slight grin and leaned forward. "But I don't think I quite caught your names."
"Ah!"
the crimson-haired woman smiled and inclined her head quickly.
"I am Raissa, an architect of Leyte. It is an honor to help rebuild this city."
"I am Azra from Leyte as well."
The blue-haired man brought his hand to his forehead in a quick salute.
"I am also an architect, and gladly offer my services in the reconstruction of Hatra El Shamash."
And I gladly welcome your help, I replied as I leaned back in my chair. Hatra needs all the help she can get. You were saying about the underground waterways, though?
Well, it could work,
Azra hummed out as he tilted his head to the side.
If the underground waterways haven't been damaged during the past 1,000 years at all, which I doubt. We're going to have to go underground to check all of that out.
Would it be possible to examine them with magic? I asked the two architects.
Well, it can be done, Azra replied as he frowned. Using just magic to examine them isn't flawless, though. You could miss something because you are looking at all of it all at once. Examining the waterways section by section using both our eyes and our magic would ensure there are no mistakes or issues we'd overlooked.
Are these all of the plans?
Raissa asked and suddenly looked up from the sketches. They are, I nodded back to her as I took a sip from my goblet. Leon's been putting together all of the schematics under my mother's guidance and direction. Leon preened at my words for a moment before he suddenly coughed and glanced down at the floor.
Thank you for your praise, my lord.
Don't be shy, Leon.
Julia glanced over at him with a smile as she set her fan down.
You've got quite the talent, considering we were a ruined city, and you were educated on the remnants of our passed down knowledge. They are rather fine sketches.
Raissa smiled over at Leon.
They make things much easier for us. Thank you.
The most pressing issue right now is the expansion of the farms. I tapped my fingers on the table as I frowned at the plates full of food. Right now, they're producing enough for us, but as the city grows, it won't be enough. I don't want to clear out any of the land within the city walls for the expansion of the farms, though. Not when we have all that arable land between the walls. The issue is how to keep them as a defensive structure and be able to feed the mouths of everyone. The two architects glanced back down at the schematics they'd begun to spread out over the table, but this time, there was no whispered mutterings of ideas. Raissa and Azra only stared fiercely at the plans before they both whipped their heads back up.
Perhaps if we raise the elevation of the land between the walls,
Raissa suggested, and excitement burned in her voice as she paced behind Azra. Farming on a sloping incline? I glanced between the two architects. Is that what you mean?
Exactly,
Azra explained as he lifted a glowing finger in the air and began to draw with it.
We'd need a day or two at least in order to work out the kinks of the plan and to survey the area. What we could do is create terraces and leave the area immediately in front of the outer walls for defense purposes. If we do the terraces, we could create a sort of tunnel system between the gates that would give added protection to whoever enters the city. Not only that, but we could create underground farming sections, turn those places into storage, or make holding areas for people entering the city. What do you think?
Azra traced slightly opaque azure lines in the air as he sketched out the city of Hatra and created what was essentially a three-dimensional model of my city. It was almost like looking at a hologram, and I never expected to see something like that in the world of Inati, but it did make discussing architectural plans much easier. That could work, I nodded as I focused on the tunnels near the main gates. That would give us multi-purpose use of the area. It won't just be farmland. I'm not exactly too fond of the idea of it being used as a checkpoint for entrances. We'd have to figure out ways to make sure nothing can go wrong. That would be a perfect target for someone to strike.
Well, since you've said there's the underground library, why not make use of Atra's own natural architecture?
Raissa suggested as she pointed toward the area underneath the city.
Expand those already existing subterranean areas, and it would be easy to create underground farms, all things considered. An added benefit to subterranean farming is the fact you wouldn't have to worry about sourcing food during a siege or demon attack.
Lord Nikolaus, what security measures do you have in Leyte? I asked as I glanced over at my fellow noble of the sword.
If we had a barrier preventing physical violence, that would make defending ourselves quite difficult.
Nikolaus smirked as he leaned forward and added onto the model with his own glowing white lines.
What we've done is to have a three-step entrance process. My city of Leyte is encircled with walls, just as Hatra is, but we have one additional ring. That's the first step where everyone has to go through an identification and verification process.
On the magical hologram, there were now three walls encircling the city of Hatra instead of the original two. The third wall stretched further out, making it look almost like an enormous canal curled around the city. "I see," I muttered as I leaned back in my chair. "That additional ring can serve as a buffer zone if we don't have anything within it, or it can be an immediate defense measure if we have our military allocated within that area."
"Exactly, and if necessary," Nikolaus continued, "it can serve as an area to accommodate refugees."
"I doubt Hatra will have to house any refugees outside of her walls anytime soon," I replied as I shook my head. "But it never hurts to be prepared. Anything at all can happen, and once the city's population starts to rise, we won't have as much free space for people to move in."
"Have you been to the ruins of the vassal villages yet?"
Alexei interjected from where he was sprawled in his chair.
"There could be more than enough building materials in those ruins."
"No," I replied honestly. "I haven't had the time for that yet. Still, I'm having the Blue Tree Guild organize a patrol to some of those areas to get an idea of how bad their condition is." I tilted my head as I stared at the model. I'd been playing with the idea of a road straight to the Orichalcum mine in order to make traveling to it easier, but seeing the model of the city gave me an idea. "Would it be possible to create a road from the main gate of Hatra to the Orichalcum mine via the Azurin village?" I asked as I glanced over at the two architects. "And underneath the road on the surface, could we have a tunnel system underneath that leads straight to the mine?" Raissa and Azra both blinked in momentary confusion.
"A decoy,"
Ruslan murmured as he leaned back in his chair.
"That way no one will know exactly where or how the metal is being brought back to the city."
"You got it in one, Pops." I grinned at Ruslan and turned to face the architects. "I've built a temporary garrison at the Azurin village and sealed off the mine for the time being, but I want to ensure that area can withstand any attack and, if necessary, have an escape route from the city to the mine."
"How are you going to prevent spies from getting into them?"
Nikolaus raised his concern.
"It would be dangerous for the city and easy for Hatra to be toppled if they manage to get inside."
"And that," I began with a smirk, "is where the enchantments in the underground library will come into place. While I'm not sure how the verification process works for other cities, I do know the lords of Hatra had some secrets up their sleeves when it came to protecting passages within the city. It'll take some time experimenting in the archives to get the right enchantments, but I know it can be done."
"I see." Nikolaus glanced over at his sword Anya with a smile, and the tenseness faded away from his shoulders.
"Hatra will be well defended then. Not even the smallest of snakes will be able to slither their way in."
"That's the plan," I replied with a nod, as I let a bit of a growl seep into my voice.
"And if they do, I'll rip the sinew from their body and let insects feast on their innards."
"That sounds too merciful to me,"
Julia huffed as she snapped her fan open.
"Traitors deserve much worse. If there is any person who deserves to suffer through the torment of the burning hells and all the cruel devils, it would be traitors."
I didn't have to be psychic to know who my mother was thinking of. Olivier. Even though we hadn't known him long, and I'd been suspicious of his purpose in visiting Hatra from the start, he'd still been welcomed into the city as a guest. Then he spat on all of that and tried to destroy our city. Death would be too merciful for him. "All right, let's go to the walls, then." I stood up and clapped my hands. "You said you needed to survey the area, right?"
"Yes, do you think it would be possible to take a look at the waterways as well?"
Azra snapped his fingers, and the floating model of Hatra disappeared as he stood up.
"It would be helpful to see them afterwards, or, depending on how long we spend at the walls, another day."
"Of course." I motioned for Dagon to follow my parents as I walked toward the entrance. "I haven't visited the underground waterways yet, but I'm sure we have a map of them somewhere."
"I'll come with you to the walls,"
Nikolaus announced, before he waved off two of his aides and directed them to go with a pretty blue-haired girl, who seemed like she would be toppled over by a strong wind.
"The rest of you must be curious about the inner city,"
Ruslan began as he offered his hand to Julia.
"If you'd like, we can show you the city before you return to your quarters to rest."
With that, our group split up in nearly equal halves. I headed out toward the city walls with the architects, Nikolaus, and the sword spirit, Anya.
My parents led the rest of the group on a tour of a city so they'd be able to get to know their temporary home. I was sure they'd be led down to the underground library at some point. There was no way they weren't curious about seeing it. As for me, well, I was more excited in getting my hands dirty and maybe raising another wall for my city.